Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. And I'm on. Hallelujah. Shalom, saints. It's a blessing to be back again with you. You were in very capable hands last week as you, Apostle Will T. Washington. Come on, the founder. So the OG deliverer of the word. Triple OG. So it's a blessing to be back in the house. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We want to thank those who have come to join us here at 3CLA, not just those who are here in the sanctuary, but those also that are tuning in online on iChurch, on our website, tuning in English and in Spanish. So we're thankful for that. So welcome. We're in a special time right now, a very needful time. We've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing, and there's a specific time that we're going through in the Hebrew calendar, and there is some things happening in the world in general. I think it's appropriate that we address what's happening in the world and also address what's happening biblically, spiritually. This is a period of time where we're getting ready for Jubilee on the Hebrew calendar, Pentecost. We're going to break that down in a second with the time that I have. On the fourth Sunday, I we have time for communion, so we lose a little time in the message, but that's okay. I'm going to get in as much as I possibly can. The world's gone crazy. You see it. You look at the politicians. You see what's going on. You know, but Scripture tells us that this day was going to come. These are the last days. I cannot wrap my head around. I hate to get political, but you know, when you start messing with the word, you know, messing with believers and, you know, with foolishness, then, you know, we got to make a stand. And so, you know, this Donald Trump stuff, I don't understand how that's even possible. The things that are being said and so that lets me know that it's a spirit. The word tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and the rulers of darkness and all types of spiritual wickedness in high places, even seeking the presidential seat, high places. And so we see these things happening in the world today. And it's like, well, what can we do about it? And some of us feel powerless, but saints, you're not powerless. You're powerful. You serve a God that has given you power to tread over serpents and scorpions, that we can pray against these things and something can actually happen. If you don't believe that, there's no reason why you should be sitting here. If you got to believe that what the word is saying, who you are, you're the head and not the tail, you're above and not beneath. I've given you the power to tread over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that this morning? Nah, do you believe that? All right. So this is what we're talking about. You got in these last days, you better believe that. You better believe it, because it's going to take the believer to pray against this stuff. You know, you're not going to be able to even use the bathroom right if you don't start praying. I'm just saying. Does anybody know what we're talking about? So the world is trying to do stuff, and it's up to the church to pray against those spirits that are trying to encroach on what's happening. You got to believe that you serve a God that's able. Tell your neighbor he's able. Because otherwise, what are we doing? We're letting the world just do what the world does, or are we going to make a change? Are we going to gain people for the kingdom? And so that's why we're talking about truth. Because it says in the last days, people would rather believe a lie than the truth. And so we start at ground zero with his name. If his name is Yeshua, if that's the name that he's been given, that's the name that's supposed to be above every name. And if we're not using that, if we're not acknowledging that, then what chance do we have if we're not going to embrace truth? Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth. So there's a connection with Yeshua, with truth. If he's the truth and you reject the truth, then you reject him. You can't separate him from the truth. Tell your neighbor, that's the truth. You can't separate it. It's inseparable, right? And so the church has to know this. The church has to embrace this. And so one of the beautiful things to me about our salvation is that he spoke to us what we needed to do, but he also walked it out. He came down here wrapped up in flesh to be an example, to show us how to do this. He showed us how to problem solve. See, folks want to go and get violent and stuff, but he was like, no, I'm showing you love. The commandment is what? Love. Love your enemies. He showed us how to do these things. And so, go to Hebrews. We said it in communion, but so appropriate. Hebrews, if you're a Hebrew scholar, the name Hebrews is Evrim. So go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. You serve a God that has walked it out for you. He spoke it out and he walked it out. Right? And he knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on your job, saints. He knows what's going on in your homes. He also knows what's going on in your bank accounts. He's got an answer for what? Everything. When they tried to trip him up and say, hey, you know, should we give Caesar what Caesar was asking for? He's asking for taxes. He says, render to Caesar. That if it's Caesar's, give it to him. So I'm telling you, saints, in this day and age, if it's the IRS's, give it to him. Right? If it belongs to the franchise tax board, does anybody know who that is? State tax. Don't trip. If it's theirs, what? Tell your neighbor, give it to him. So even then, he was telling us, way back then, pay your taxes. Obey the laws of the land and things that, pray for those that are in authority. Presidents and all these, so that you'll live a peaceable life. So he already gave us the instructions that we need to be able to get through this. And so if we go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 14th verse, the apostle said this in the communion, but it's apropos. It's what we're talking about. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's ascended. Yeshua, my son, he says, son of Yahweh, right? So let us hold fast. All y'all got a profession. See, maybe we got some beauticians in here. You think that's your profession. You got some state workers, county workers. You think that's your profession. You know, that's what you're doing here to pay some bills, but your profession is being saved. It's your confession of Yeshua as your Savior. That's what you should be a professional at. Come on now. Right? You should be a professional believer. I mean, check this out. I was talking to one of the to the ministers today. We were talking about Kobe Bryant retiring. And I saw his documentary, Kobe Bryant Muse, if anybody saw that. And basically, he's just telling his life story. This dude lived, ate basketball, breathed basketball. He wanted to be the best basketball player ever. So everything that he did was basketball. And guess what? He achieved it. Whatever you set your mind and your affection to is going to happen. What if? What if we all said we wanted to be the best believers ever? We wanted to know that word. We wanted to be able to do it, live it out. And people will say, hey, at the end, we're going to get a ring. Guess what? We get a crown of glory that's already set up for us. But just think of the stuff we can do for the kingdom if we were focused on the kingdom. And that's what he's saying. He was like, I need some players out there. I need some believers, some worshipers that are going to be focused on me. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So there's some people that teach from the pulpit that, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you how to be successful in your job. Wait, no. Here, we're going to tell you how to be a successful believer, and then that's going to overflow onto your job. Seek the kingdom first. I'm not going to get up here and talk about how you can get a Rolls Royce, how you can get your mansion. Now, the mansion, yeah, I'm going to tell you how to get a mansion, but it's not the mansion you suppose. It's the mansion that's... But we got to live out this life successfully to be able to make an impact on the kingdom. Then he'll, if you seek him first, then he'll use you in different areas, right? He'll use you on your job. He'll use you in the family. He'll put you in positions. Stop seeking the position. Seek him and he'll put you in a position. So what we're trying to say is that hold fast to this profession. We are believers and we got to hold on. Tell your neighbor, hold on to that. You know, you're going to get a promotion. And so when we understand this, go to the 15th verse. But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. What are infirmities? Our weaknesses. Who has infirmities? I don't have enough hands. But through him, he understands what, you know, we're going through. He's compassionate. There are religions out there that teach that he's a warring God. He's hard. You can't come to him. You can't go near him. Well, he's Yahweh, the real, true, and living God. Says, hey, come to me. You got cares? Come to me. Cast them on me. I can take it. I can take care of you. So he knows. So understanding that, he knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's happening at your job. He knows these things. And so you are not without. He knows when you have a legal situation. Don't worry about the judge. He's the judge. Come on. Don't worry about what the doctor said. Yeah, go to the doctor. Find out what the doctor said. But then take that report to your eye. And who's the court you're on? He said, you're here. So go to the doctor. Let the doctor give you the report. And then we're going to pray on that. Because what? The things that are seen are what? Subject to change. He was tempted like us. Yet. Without sin. And the 16th verse says what? So let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. In what?
Time of need. Who needs help? Tell your neighbor, everybody need help.
You got different situations, and you know what? They ain't no new situations. They all the same situations. We have yet to come up with some new situations. They all the same situations that's rehashed, right? And so when we understand this, go to Amos. And so what he's trying to do, he's walked this out so we could be successful. And that's what we're talking about. Man, we serve a God who is so in order that he's already foretold and shown us things. And the things that he has shown us have come to pass. Everything means something. Everything that Yeshua did meant something. His life had meaning and purpose. And because you're in him, guess what? Your life has meaning and purpose. You gotta believe that. He's using you for something. There's no such thing as coincidence in the Hebrew. He's gonna use you for something. He's got assignments for each and every one of you. You know, I'm working out my assignment. You should be working out what? Your, hold fast to your profession. And so that's what we're talking about, is that he's walked it out. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we need. His life had meaning, so our life has meaning. And get this, every day you have an opportunity for revelation. Every day he can reveal something to you. Every day he'll show you something. Every day he'll speak something. Every day he'll reveal and manifest something that's going to help you in your walk. I have to drive my daughter to school every morning. And she's sitting in the back seat. And I'm telling y'all, y'all will be using her sometimes. You know, because she talk. And she asks questions. Well, Daddy, why you say that you can't? When you say we can do all. I was like, what? Sometimes, well, I ain't thinking she listening, and then some, you know how sometimes we get spiritual Tourette's, we'll just say stuff, oh man, I can't do that, you know, I'm thinking out loud, you know, you're just like, why Daddy, why you say you can't? Wow. have a kid ever said something profound and you don't want them to see your face? You like, wow, that was deep. And she just schooled me. And the word says a child will what? Lead them. But every day, when these things happen, I'm like, whoa. You using the babies. But why? Well, why does it say this? And while I'm trying to explain something to her, wow, she'll ask a question about the universe, or she'll ask a question about something, and I'm trying to explain it, and then I find myself preaching to myself. I'm like, yeah. Wow, that's what it is. Every day. If you're open, and if you're listening, and that's what this period of time that we are in. Check this out. Passover that we just experienced, right? Right before resurrection, the world calls it Easter, it's resurrection. But 3 days before that was a feast. Everybody say feast. Feast. Now, the Hebrews would do feasts, times, about 7 different feasts that they did. Interesting enough, the feasts were already ordained before. Then the significant things happened in Yeshua's life that actually fell on those days of the feasts. When he was born, there was a feast going on. When he was crucified, there was a feast going on. Then he said he was trying to prepare us for a coming feast where he was going to send the Holy Ghost. Guess what? That failed on a what? These things
don't happen by accident. They're ordered. How did that happen? Well, it's a coincidence. No. We serve a God of order. And the more you know about him, the more you're going to grow in him.
And so we find out that Passover or Pesach was on the same time they were celebrating that feast when Yeshua was crucified. And that feast was in terms of the deliverance that the Israelites received from Egypt. Remember? They call it Passover because when you put the blood over the doorpost, the death angel would what? Pass over that house. He was like, no, they saved by the blood. When Yeshua was the lamb that at that same time, simultaneously as they were celebrating that, he's crucified and he becomes the Passover lamb. He fulfills his purpose. No bones were broken. Just like the word said, hundreds of years before. So when you see that, you're just like, whoa, that actually happened. So 50 days after Passover or Pesach, they have a period that's 50 days after that we celebrate Pentecost. Say Pentecost. It's really Jubilee or Shavuot, right? And the 50 days that we're counting down, get this. That festival or that feast was for when Moses got the word, the Torah, on Mount Sinai. And during that feast, right, they received the word. Well, guess what? Yeshua foretold that the Holy Spirit was coming. Guess when the Holy Spirit came? On the same day that the word was received on Mount Sinai. Just in a different time. But it was the same feast. Was that a coincidence? I think not. So guess what feast means in Hebrew? Moedim. Say Moedim. Moedim means this. The appointed times. Thank you. The feasts took place at the appointed times. Whose appointed times? God, Yahweh's appointed times. The times that he deemed were important. See, we try to celebrate. Well, you know, let's celebrate Christmas. He didn't tell you to do that. Well, let's celebrate this and that. No. I mean, you can do it, but it's not his appointed times. And when you look at the meaning of these times, the Moedim, say the Moedim, you understand what his purpose is in your life. You know, it's a shame that we go and we keep doing, we get into tradition and religion and stuff, and we have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea what we're saying. That's why the truth is important, saints. Get the truth. Tell your neighbor, get the truth. And so we look at this, the period, the 50 days from the feast of Passover, Pesach, to the Shavuot or Jubilee is 50 days. Say 50 days. So they call it the Sarafah HaOmer. That means it's the counting of the days. So what we're doing is we're counting the days. It means the count. Say the count. Why are we counting down instead of counting up? We're not saying, okay, we're on day one, we're on day two. No, we're saying we're on day 50 and 49 and 48. Because in the Hebrew tradition, it's at the anticipation. We're counting down because we're looking forward. So with the Sarafat Omer, what you're doing during this time is you are counting down the days to the celebration when the word came, and to the same celebration when the Spirit of Yahweh came and filled us. So that's where I want to bring you to. So go to Amos real quick. I'm going to take just a few minutes to set this up, because, you know, I will not be able to do it. Next week, I want to set this up. Amos, 3rd chapter, 7th verse. You got it? And it says, surely, Yahweh, thy Elohim, that's what that means, that's the translation of the word, will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. This means that he doesn't do anything without first revealing his secret. Not secret. See, our idea of secrets, we don't want to tell nobody. We're going to hide it. It's a secret. No, the Hebrew meaning of that word, sod, say sod. Sod doesn't mean that it's something that you're a secret, you're not going to say nothing about it. It's an inward counsel. It's him speaking to you inwardly, having a conversation with familiar friends, believers. It's something that he is, it's not a secret that can't be found, but it's a secret that he wants to reveal to you. He wants to speak to you during this time. And so what he's doing is he's revealing himself. Even his name is a revelation, because it means something, and it's what he does. So every day that you're counting down, you're taking inventory. You're like, I want to get closer to you, Yahweh. Every day you're taking time out for him to speak to you. Now, we should be doing that anyway. Tell your neighbor, we should be doing that anyway. But see, he got to be reminding us all the time. And that's what this was, the Seraphat Omer, the counting of the days, is saying, hey, listen, let me get you guys in check before you wreck yourself. I want you to each day, as we're approaching this time, to consider your ways. Consider what's happening on the inside. Draw closer to me. Read my word. Pray. Because as we start counting down these days, we're getting closer to him. Come on, let's go here to Acts, first chapter. Who wants to get closer? I want to get closer. I want to get closer. And the enemy wants to cloud your mind and get you to reject the things that are going to draw you closer. You reject prayer. Well, you know, I pray when I need something. Uh-uh. You need to pray just to pray. Who understands what I'm saying? You don't know what's coming around the bend. I just need to pray just to pray. I want to stay ready so I don't have to get ready. I want to acknowledge him in all my ways, not just when something goes wrong, but I want to acknowledge him in every way. He's like, I'm trying to help you, but you're trying to do it your way. So this is what Yeshua said before he left. Seeing then, he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that now we're talking about Yeshua here. And remember, he died, crucified, resurrected. And then, after he was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples. Because now, since we're counting down the days, they were kind of stressed out. After Yeshua was resurrected and crucified, rather, the disciples were tripping. They were like, we don't know what to do. He gone. But he had been walking with them, trying to prepare them. So guess what he does during this time, the same time of the counting of the Omer. He's like, let me help y'all out here. And so he comes and appears to them, and he says, in the second verse, until the day which he was taken up, after that, he threw the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself, what? Alive after his passion by many, what? Infallible proofs being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining. So Yeshua, after he was resurrected, was chilling with them, talking to them for 40 days. Well, everything that Yahweh does is significant. What is significant about 40 days? Well, Moshe, he lived 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in the desert before Yahweh selected him to lead the people out of slavery. He was also on Mount Sinai for 40 days. And the prophet Jonah, who warned them, Nineveh, remember that? For 40 days, he was warning them. 40 is a symbol of testing, trial, probation, introspection. But y'all don't know about no probation, right? But he was with them. It's significant. The time that he spent with them is significant. Go to the fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not. Don't leave Jerusalem. But wait. That's what this counting of the Omer is a waiting period. It's an anticipation period. Because he says, I'm about to move. I'm about to do something in your life. So what we try to do is we go different places and we get in our mind. And he's saying, I want you to wait. Wait on me. Wait for my answer. Wait for my move. Wait for my voice. Wait for my unction. Because a lot of times we get impatient and we want to do our own thing. And so he says, I'm about to send you something. So wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he hath heard of me. Fifth verse. For Yohanan or John truly baptized with water. You already received the baptism of water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Why is he telling us that we need the Holy Ghost? Well, the next verse says what? When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but, somebody say, but. I'm talking about you and your situation, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. And you're going to be witnesses. That's it. Somebody say witness. Without the power, you can try to be a witness, but you're not going to be able to be the witness that has power. You're going to be witnesses into Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. You're not going to be able to be the witnesses I need you to be. Come on now. Thank you. Unless you receive the power that I got for you, and you gotta wait for it. Come on now. Somebody say wait. Wait. Hebrew word kowa means that you're in anticipation. See, we think that waiting is some bad thing. Y'all don't wanna wait for nothing. You want everything right now. Instant. Microwave. That's what my mother used to say. We want microwave faith. You want everything right now. And he's saying, hold up. Let me slow roast this situation for you. Come on. Come on. Tell your neighbor, slow roast it. With fire. Because what he's going to do is he's going to make sure that he let that thing marinate until it's good and ready. And then when he's ready, you... When he's ready to move, when he's ready to do something, when he's ready to show you and manifest himself to you in a powerful and dynamic way, there ain't nothing like it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When he shows up with power and might. And so what we're doing, we gotta wait. But during the period of time that we're waiting, we're not standing still. We're not stagnant. We're still praying. We're still examining ourselves. We're still getting ourselves ready. We're cleaning ourselves up. We're making a way for him. We're humbling ourselves, and that's a hard one. We're not humbling ourselves. We think we got the answers. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to send you power. You want to be a witness? You want to be successful at this thing? You can't do it without the power. Even in this day and age, you're not going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to make the right decisions unless you got the power. How do we get the power? He says, wait on it. Count the days. And by the time we count these days down, come on. Take the Serapha HaOmer. Say it, Serapha HaOmer. Take it seriously. Get yourself ready. Prepare for what he's about to do in your life. See, you're looking for, you know, I want him to speak to me in these or he says, I'm trying to speak to you every day, but you ain't speaking to me. You're so busy asking for stuff and trying to get him to solve problems that you put yourself in. He's like, I didn't tell you to do that. So you need him to be to fix it. You need him to do what's the girl's name? On the show? Oh. Why you need to call your... whatever. If you really want your life fixed, go to the one who created life to begin with. The creator. He made life. He'll fix life. Bow your head, Father Yahweh. Thank you for who you are and what you do. Even when we're not listening, you're still calling. Even when we're not paying attention, you're still moving on us and to us. During this time, as we prepare for Jubilee, Pentecost, Shavuot, where the Holy Spirit falls on the church, and our mission and our assignments are given that greater works we would do. Let us contemplate during these days as we approach that time what we need to do, what we need not to do, that you give us the patience to wait on every answer that we need to successfully navigate what you have placed before us. We need your power. We need your power. We need your glory. We need your power. We can't make it without it. So our desire is not the things that we desire that are temporal, the things here on the earth, but our desire is to serve you. And through that desire, you supply all of our needs. So we thank you that we're listening. We're open. We're waiting. And we give you the glory
for the victory in our life. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And Amen. Keep your head bowed really quickly. Just want to acknowledge if there are those, someone here is saying, hey, you know what? I do want the change in my life. I want something greater. I want the power. I want what he's speaking. I see what's going on in the world. I'm trying to do things myself. I'm trying to live my life the way I think I should live my life instead of the way you have ordained me to live my life. And you're saying, I'm ready. I want to step into a brand new relationship. I want that. And we want to give those people an opportunity to raise their hands. If that's you, raise your hand. And everybody, keep your head bowed. No one's looking. So if you need to raise your hand for that, raise it. Maybe you say, hey, I don't know if I have the power. I don't know if the Holy Spirit is operating in my life. And I need that. I want that. And you say, I'm ready. And I want that manifest in my life today. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you for that. If you want that operating and moving in your life. Hallelujah. He's moving, he's moving, he's moving. He's doing the things that he said he's going to do. So let's bow our heads. Father, Eva, thank you for what you have manifested to us, what you've shown us, what you've spoken to us. We ask right now that continue to minister to us your word, your way, your spirit, your power. And we'll forever give you the glory. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Let's give him praise right now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.
Tell your neighbor, get ready for Jubilee. Get ready for Jubilee. I'm telling y'all. We're going to celebrate what he's done. We're going to celebrate it. Hallelujah.